Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering a second DC showcase.
Yeah, it's been a while, right? As you were just filling me in on how long it has been.
Almost 3 years.
Yeah.
The actual films that we are discussing, the release dates cover 9 years. Because the first one came out in 2011 and the last one came out in 2020.
So are we doing them now because it makes sense to do them all as a batch?
Well, what actually happened was, because when I came up with this episode was actually at the tail end of 2020.
Right.
Because it would have been when I was actually sitting and formatting everything. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, I didn't know at the time that all the movies apart from Catwoman are actually on the disc for Batman Death in the Family.
Right.
Because the idea is, actually the first showcase we did, the actual DVD was Superman and Shazam. And it also included the other showcases. And the next showcase episode, which is a lot quicker from this one.
I would hope, because we're coming to an end generally.
Yes. The headline on that one is Constantine House of Mystery.
Right.
Which also includes Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth, The Losers, and Blue Beetle.
Okay.
So the idea of DC Showcase, for those who weren't listening 60-odd episodes ago, the DC Showcase was a collection of short films that were attached to other films that we've covered. So Catwoman was attached to Batman Year One, Sergeant Rock was attached to Batman Hush, Death was attached to Wonder Woman Bloodlines, Phantom Stranger to Superman Red Sun, Adam Strange was attached to Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. So that's how I came up with, right, we'll do them after Apocalypse War.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that's how that logic came about. As I said, that logic was 3 years. I actually think that might have been before Death in the Family came out. So I wouldn't have known that it was that they were on that box set. Even then, Death in the Family is going to be something that's very... We still haven't quite figured out how we're covering it. So
yeah, we're still discussing that. I have relented, and we will cover it. I may be grumpy, but we have. I relented on
well,
that.
Well, so. On the plus side, it looks like it actively punishes you for killing Jason,
which is good.
So it actually goes, oh, you just want a boring half-hour retelling of the movie that we've already released? Fine. We'll even take Jensen Ackles out, you know, the best part of that film.
Yeah.
So, anyway, on to the showcase itself, and starting with the one movie that I don't think actually is on the Death in the Family DVD, which is Catwoman.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you did tell me we were starting with Catwoman.
Hmm. Yes. So this came out with Batman Year One, and I think it's actually meant to be sort of a sequel. It's certainly, the art style's the same. It's the same person who played Catwoman in Batman Year One.
Right, I didn't realise, I guess, of course she did, yeah.
Uh-huh. And the movie starts with two men chasing and shooting at a cat.
Yeah, not a good way to get me on board.
Yeah. Oh, no, I did watch this film and go, okay, Rebecca's going to give me shit for this.
Yeah, I hated this one. Like, so, I mean, you know, we will discuss why, but this one had the strongest reaction from me.
And it wasn't
to do with them trying to chase a cat. Like, I joke about that, but it wasn't. This is sheer fan service.
In the worst way.
Yeah.
The cat jumps off a bridge. The henchmen are convinced this cat's dead, and they go to their boss, who is a man who has diamond teeth.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, admittedly.
It's about the one interesting bit of animation in this.
Yeah, they look good. I mean, you know.
So this particular boss is called Rough Cut, who seems to be obsessed with diamonds.
And he has a lot of them.
And we then have obligatory strip club scene.
Yeah, and it's quite extended for such a short.
Yes, for an 11-minute movie, I think more than half of it takes place in this strip club.
And I'd like to point out, I'm not prude. I don't really care. It did nothing for me. I don't think it was particularly good strip club story. There was no real storytelling need for it. It was just like, oh, we want to... And they go all in once Catwoman comes out. But well,
basically, the idea is meant to be Catwoman infiltrates the strip club and does an actual striptease and goes way too far into it before she attacks Rough Cut.
Yeah, she's doing full-on putting her whip around her neck and kind of like, yeah, it's just, it's not sexy, it's just dumb.
Yeah. And, yep, so a fight breaks out, Catwoman's able to defeat the two thugs, and this leads to a chase sequence, where Catwoman is chasing after Rough Cut on a bike, wearing her goggles and the helmet at night.
You know, maybe they're like infrared goggles. Who knows? They're maybe. Not, but maybe.
And this chase, immediately Rough Cut goes, I'm going to start shooting trucks so that they crash into Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
And then Catwoman tries to throw gas canisters at him. He ends up shooting one of the gas canisters, and Catwoman is involved in a big crash.
Yes.
Which damages her suit, but she's absolutely fine.
It's very important we damage her suit. Her skin-tight leather suit.
Yes. But magically, certain parts don't get torn.
Yeah. I mean, she's still going to pass the comics code.
Yes. Oh, the comics code died with the strip club at this point. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Catwoman then jumps into the truck, kicks the guy's diamond teeth out.
Yeah, which is quite funny.
Causes the truck to crash into Rough Cut's ship that was importing stuff. It wasn't importing. It was coming to pick up a shipping container. Who's later revealed to be a bunch of women.
Yeah, they're doing a bit of, like, sex trafficking.
And one of the women is Selena Kyle's friend, Holly Robinson.
Yeah.
And that's how she knew... that's how she was interested with the cat, because the cat was wearing a collar that Catwoman gave Holly Robinson. So that's the film that happened.
Yeah,
thankfully it's the shortest.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my problem with it is it's a nothing story as well. It's like, I don't feel like you get a particularly good introduction to Catwoman, and so for the whole showcase thing, it's like, it's showing a very, very, like, not very that interesting bit about her. It's just saying she's sexy and she will fight criminals even though she's a criminal. Like, you know. I didn't like Elizabeth Crew's voice this time. I found it a little bit jarring. It was a little bit like almost cutesy.
Yeah.
But I don't remember feeling that about her in the film. So that's why I'm kind of surprised when you said, oh, it's the same voice. And I'm like going, I don't remember feeling that the voice wasn't good before. But this time I was like, it may have just been because I just wasn't enjoying it anyway.
Yeah.
But I thought the other voices were really good. So.
So we'll go on to. This is. We then jump 8 years. To 2019 and DC Showcase Sergeant Rock. Sergeant Rock himself is voiced by Carl Urban. Though
that
you
was
wouldn't
good.
Know it, because he doesn't sound the same.
He doesn't. Like, I was surprised.
And, yeah, so we open up to a World War II battlefield, and at first it's just kind of, we're just seeing a bunch of random soldiers being killed. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to, at first I thought the giant guy who is being bared down upon by a tank was going to be our main guy, and then it turned out, No, he's just the last person to be killed.
Yeah.
So we then wake up to Sergeant Rock in his hospital bed, and his squad, which I believe is in the comic books and is known as the Easy Company.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah. I believe you.
They've all been killed, and Sergeant Rock has been reassigned to a new unit. That he's going to lead. Because the Nazis are making a doomsday weapon. Because did the Nazis do anything else apart from mess with the occult and have doomsday weapons than once featuring zombies, might I add?
I mean, yes. But what the other thing they did, DC isn't going to tackle.
No, absolutely.
So it's just a funny way of phrasing it. But yeah, they ain't going where they ain't going with the Holocaust, so they're gonna go.
No, they're not gonna touch that because
I'm being like hot.
Even comic book movies don't have that little taste.
Yeah. So they always I think my wider point is they always try and use the same themes of the evil they were doing by, say, experimenting on people with the supernatural versus the actual what was going on. Do you know what I mean? I think it's very much a stand-in for wanting to talk about the Holocaust and the brutality and the evil that was being carried out.
It's a bit like how the way that the Japanese filmmakers interpreted the devastation of nuclear war was giant fire-breathing dinosaur.
Yeah, yeah.
Sergeant Rock's team are, I believe, characters from the comic book. I don't know. But I believe that this is meant to be the Creature Commandos.
Oh, so these are the ones we're getting as our first DCU entry.
I guess.
Well, I mean, strictly Blue Beetle, but this is the first one under Gunn will be Creature Commandos, I think, will be the first one out.
Well, this isn't clear, because some people are saying it's Aquaman. Some people are saying it's Aquaman, some people say it's Blue Beetle. I think it's basically, if Aquaman is successful,
it'll
counts.
Be Aquaman, yeah, yeah.
If Blue Beetle is successful, it counts. If Flash had been successful, it would have counted.
Yeah, I think so too. But anyway, Creature Commandos will be the first TV show under the Gunn era.
Yes. So, the team...
Although he's not going to Comic-Con now, so don't expect any big announcements. But I would like to say, before this, all I knew was Sergeant Rock's Jewish. So this has added to my, But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's that interesting a character, Sergeant Rock, and this didn't change my mind. It was very standard, but it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate it. I was just like, I wasn't drawn into it and like, oh, I think, I mean, I assume the whole point of these is to make you think, oh, there's more characters, DC has more characters than big ones.
There was almost a sort of thought of, if one of these gets really, really popular... which I don't know how they would define this, but if it got really, really popular, they would then go, well, maybe this could be a movie.
Yeah, or they can at least add them to the team for another movie. I mean, like, because it is a weird mix. Like, I remember from the last ones we did, most of them did actually make me think, oh, these are cool characters. I'd like to know a bit more about them. This one was a bit more mixed with me. And obviously starting with Catwoman, I mean, everyone knows Catwoman, and she's like one of the most
exposed
of that. So that was a weird one to even include, because she's going to be in everything anyway. She's in, like, however many of the live action films, like three.
Yeah.
Like one from each era, probably. So, I mean, this was interesting, I guess, because of the Creature Commandos. And if you want to get a heads up about them before the new movie, TV show, this might be, like, this isn't a waste of 15 minutes of your time.
The three team members are ungeneric. Orlok style vampire, ungeneric wolfman, and ungeneric Frankenstein's monster looking character. Apparently the character that it actually is, he's not a Frankenstein's monster, he's a person who's nearly killed and was stitched back together.
Wow. Yeah.
Comic books be comic books, people.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that's unfair on all the comic books. I'm being too dismissive.
Well, maybe.
The four of them attack a Nazi camp, and Sergeant Rock very explicitly says, I don't care if he's a Nazi, you're not allowed to eat him, Mr. Vampire.
That line actually upset me. Like, I don't see any military person who was fighting the Nazis. No, it's kind of like dragged me, like, why would he say that? Like, is he known as being a pacifist? It just led to a lot of questions, and that line really stood out from this episode for me.
I think it only exists for one purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's not to get the person killed.
And, well, it's not even to get that person killed. It's to make something else more of a payoff for later.
Yeah, but I still think it's just a bad line.
Oh, no, it's a... Because it did the same for me. I was suddenly going, what?
Yeah.
Don't feed from him, but I'm just going to kill him anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. So they arrive at the base, and... So after capturing the two scientists... Sergeant Rock is attacked by a Nazi with a robot hand who, according to Wikipedia, is called the Iron Major.
Which is hilarious.
So, a fight breaks out whilst whatever experiments the Nazis have been working on start to break out of their confinements. Because it turns out that Sergeant Rock's military unit, that they've taken so much effort to introduce to us,
mm-hmm.
are actually, they've been resurrected as zombies.
Because you needed some zombies. I mean, you're always going to get zombies in this kind of thing, especially if you've got, like, vampires and werewolves and whatever.
As I said, it's this other thing of... I've noticed, because this is about the third or fourth property I've seen where it's, oh, the Nazis are creating zombies.
Yeah, it's like...
Because they can't actually discuss what the Nazis actually did in the real world. To the point where I'm not sure if we can on an unexplicit podcast. It then turns out that the big guy... that we saw die at the very end, he is like the super zombie.
Yes. The zombie.
Who is either... he's able to beat up all the other guys before finally Sergeant Rock is able to get over the fact that this is the body of his friend and kills the super zombie.
Yeah.
The Nazis go, ha ha ha, you've had orders not to kill us because... the Americans want to make a zombie army.
Of course they do. Well, that's actually the plot.
That's a fairly common trope.
That's a fairly good plot and like good film. If you ever watch it, what's it called? I don't know. I don't remember now.
Is that not Overlord?
Yes, Overlord. One of my a horror film I will always champion because I love it.
Good, because not enough people have seen that. It's a good film.
I think it's literally one of the films you would not expect me to love that I absolutely love.
No, I have to say that's not. I wouldn't have put you down as that being a thing, but
yeah.
It's at this point that Sergeant Rock goes, "Oi, vampire boy, you still hungry?"
Yeah.
Because bog standard Nazis, no. But evil scientist Nazis, yes.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right?
Yeah. But anyway, that's the creature commandos leave as the building burns down. And that's the
that's
end
it,
of that.
Really. Yeah. I mean, it was all right. It was, I would say, go watch Overlord instead.
Oh, no, yeah, go watch Overlord instead. I get the impression this even came out after Overlord. I can even buy the idea that someone went, oh, I know what we could use for replacing the...
Yeah, yeah.
To give an exhibition for Sergeant Rock for our showcase series.
Yeah. I mean, they do... I think there's a... They do quite like it.
Right. So we next get on to... I've got to be honest... The only one of these films that made me feel anything.
Yeah, which one's that? Which one are we going to? Let's see. I'm not going to try and
Death.
Guess. Death, yeah. Yeah, it's, again, aside from me not really liking the voice actor.
Yeah.
For Death, it's definitely got the biggest emotional hit. And it's not just because it's a cool character, you know.
It's also the longest by quite some way, because this is 19 minutes.
A whole 20 minutes of your time, people.
Yeah. So, this particular... Now, I believe... Is this... Because Death is a character originally from Sandman, or this yeah. version of Death.
This version of Death is from Neil Gaiman's Sandman, yeah.
Yeah. So, the story follows Vincent Omata, who is a struggling artist... we see him, he's working at Arkham Asylum, doing what, I'm assuming like painting and decorating.
Yeah.
But he gets fired.
He's having a bad, bad time.
Yeah.
And he's also being tormented by ghost demons.
I get the impression that this is meant to be his... doubts or his fears,
mm-hmm.
and it's represented by like the teacher who said you'll never succeed, his dad
yeah.
who said you'll never succeed, his girlfriend who left him.
I mean, they really are like, hello, commit suicide demons, basically. Like, your life is worthless, what are you doing?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
As he's stumbling out of the bar, he bumps into a young woman dressed completely in black, and...
Young, pretty goth chick.
Yep. And Vince is instantly smitten and wants to paint her.
Yes.
And
she's instantly in love with her.
And she gives him her hat.
Which is nice.
And we then see, as she's leaving, she turns around to someone else and goes, shall we go?
Which is her standard kind of, yeah. Standard kind of entry exit in Sandman is like going to meet someone else and say, time to go, shall we go, that kind of thing.
So we then see Vince fall asleep in his house on his couch with a cigarette in his hand, and the second that happens I go, okay, I see where this is going.
Yeah I mean, like, if you've read any of the Death shorts or even like some of the Death issue, like when she's her Sandman issue, this is very in that line, which is one of the things I liked about it. It felt very taken from a, like, it's not a story in the comic, but it felt really like this could be a comic.
It got
like a full comic with like the full story. Like some of the others just felt a bit more like shorts.
Like, yeah, it's one of the things that a lot of comic book movies get wrong, which is they get the appearance of the comic books, but they don't understand the tone.
Yeah.
So, what I think is happening isn't what happened, because actually a crash happens outside and wakes Vince up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So, he sees a crash happen and two people confronting the woman from earlier. He then shouts at them to leave her alone, goes to check on her, and he notices, oh, there was a car crash nearby. So the woman then goes, I'd like to see your work. So
yeah, she's got a bit more time for him now.
Yeah. She's got all the time in the world. So,
but it is quite, so she's showing how his art and the demons are kind of mocking him.
Yep. So, he asks if he can paint her. She does agree. And this helps him overcome the doubts, and he creates a portrait.
Yes.
Look, the second he does it, he's like, oh, this is my greatest work.
Yeah.
And it's at this point he realizes that time's not passing.
Yeah. And this is where you get the, oh, this is what's going to happen.
So, and the woman reveals that she is death. So, time starts again, the house ignites, and Vincent begs and pleads to death, can you at least save the painting? She goes, yes, okay, I've already done that, it's fine.
Yeah.
Shall we go? He turns into a child for some reason.
I think it's because when you die, you fix a certain, within this, the Sandman world,
right.
You fix at a specific point in your life.
Right.
I think that you might get to choose sometimes. So, depending on how death is, I guess, to you. But maybe he wanted to go to a more innocent time, even though his childhood wasn't great.
Yeah. But that was back when he could just, like, that was what he did with his days, is he just sat and drew.
Yeah.
And that was DC Showcase Death. Also, the soundtrack on that one, I think, is particularly good as well.
It stands out as being unusual for a cartoon, which is a compliment in that, if everything's going to make you pay attention, it's going to be, oh, this is something a bit different. The story is obviously quite compelling. Everyone loves death. Everyone understands being troubled by the demons of your past kind of thing. It's really good. I mean, like, it's hard for me because there's a character of all of them that I know the best.
Yeah. So, whereas I, on the other hand, I've not really engaged with any of the Sandman lore. Either the comic books or the television series or anything like that.
The TV show.
Yes, I've heard great things about it.
I'm just saying it might be easier entry now than the comics.
Yeah. Also, isn't Sandman where John Constantine first appears as well?
It's not his first appearance, but he does appear in it, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he has a pretty cool role in it. And you get to see some of his family as well.
Well, in the TV show, it's a relation, isn't it?
Well, she's in the comic too.
Uh-huh.
Just not. In the TV show, she takes his role and the role she plays in the comic.
Right.
In the comic, they're separate. Like, you have him, well, goes to the past, which we haven't got to the TV show yet, it's her.
I think it's probably because things are a little bit more complicated with the usage of John Constantine now, I think.
Yeah, and also, like, I mean, it simplifies things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have no problem with them doing that, but yeah, the modern day, you have Constantine, and when it goes to the past, you have his ancestor.
Right. So we then move on to the Phantom Stranger.
Yes.
And this one's really strange.
I didn't really enjoy it again.
Because it feels like there's two films happening. It's
yeah.
The tone's a bit all over the place.
I don't feel I got any kind of hook on who the Phantom Stranger is or what his deal is.
So the other thing as well is, so it's Peter Serafinowicz is voicing the Phantom Stranger.
Which is great. Yeah.
I get the impression he's trying to do a Patrick Stewart impression.
Maybe.
Anyway, so this is set in the 60s, 70s. And within about three lines of... Right, so we open to a VW van in California. Four kind of hippie types and...
It's Scooby-Doo's ripoff.
Scooby-Doo ripoff. And a very young, very obviously naive kid. The second I'm seeing him, like, so this is a cult.
Yeah, definitely a cult. Immediately.
Immediately. Phantom Stranger then comes in, does like a monologue, and then looks directly at, if this was live action, where the camera is.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those old, not Tales of the Unexpected type things, but those kind of old stories of, like, let me show you this mysterious thing that happened. You know, where you have the narrator sort of going through it.
So, if you didn't know it was a cult already, they then arrive at a decrepit house with a demon statue in a fountain. And they keep talking about, oh, you've got to meet Seth, who is the leader and the...
Yeah, you've got to meet him. All people in cults say, you've got to meet our leader, they're so great.
Yes. Thankfully, Marcy, the young woman, decides, I'm going to stay outside and have a smoke first.
Yeah.
And the Phantom Stranger appears and talks to her.
Yeah.
Now, I actually ended up doing some research.
Ooh, nice.
And it appears that the way the Phantom Stranger is set up is he is an omnipotent being, but for whatever reason, he is not allowed to directly interfere, though he does do it here.
Yeah, I mean, okay, that's not much of a... He's clearly stepping over.
The idea is he's only meant to influence others to do the right thing. He's apparently... Like, basically, it's a, oh no, we've made a Deus Ex Machina, we need to make sure that he doesn't just fix everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why all these characters always have that...
Mm-hmm.
Always have that thing on them. It's like, oh no, you can't... like the Watcher, oh no, you can't get involved. You know, like...
Yeah.
Always do, but only when they really want to.
So, after some... The Phantom Stranger tries to talk to Marcy, but he sounds like a 50s morality cartoon.
He
and
does.
That's exactly what he sounds like. And she kind of ends up with, okay, you're weird. I'm going away now because you're giving me weird vibes. Let me now go to the obvious cult leader because he's not giving me those vibes.
Yeah.
Also, weirdly, she has a hallucination where a doorknob turns into an eye. Nothing else comes of it, but that's a thing that happens.
So you can, I guess, think in terms of drugs.
Yeah. So, the second that you go into the house, it's like, oh, this is... When are they going to start tying people up and pouring the Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
We introduced to Seth, and he is...
He's as cult leader as you would think, you know.
Yes. He's voiced by Michael Rosenbaum as well.
And that it is a good voice.
Yeah. So, a dance sequence begins, and one by one, Seth kills the other four hippies, cult members, whatever they are.
Which we kind of figure, because, like, they're not really focusing on them.
And just as Marcy is about to be the final victim, the Phantom Stranger arrives and pulls Marcy away.
Yes, he's intervening again.
So, the Phantom Stranger and Seth have a sword fight. It becomes clear that Seth's power comes from an Ouroboros necklace.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the snake eating its tail.
That surrounds the world in Norse mythology, isn't it?
I believe so, but like it's used in plenty of things.
Mm-hmm. It's either Norse or Greek. I can't remember. It's one or the other. I think it's Norse. I'm not sure. One of the things that Seth mentions in passing is only an innocent can kill me.
Oh, that's a surprise.
And the second he says that, it's okay.
Mm-mm.
I know how this resolves.
Yeah.
The stranger is about to win the fight when Marcy hits him over the head with a pot. Seth then goes, "Oh, I could just drain you and it would keep me alive for a century."
Yeah. Which is, I'd like to see him try.
So Marcy then starts flirting explicitly with Seth to get in close enough to grab the Ouroboros medallion and destroy it. And Seth does as easy an animation version of the, I can't remember the character's name from Last Crusade, the Indiana Jones film, the rapid aging thing.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
So, yeah, that is, so Phantom Stranger then appears very proud, and Marcy decides to go off traveling as the Phantom Stranger watches as a giant silhouette in the night sky.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it's not bad. You know what I wanted this to be more? I wanted it to be more a full-on Scooby-Doo, like, piss take. Sorry, can I say that?
Yeah, no, it's fine. We'll have one.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I wanted it to go all in on it and to even, like, have that kind of reveal, like somebody having the, you know, their mask pulls off at the end. So I was kind of a little bit disappointed that we didn't get that.
Yep. So we're on to the final one, which is Adam Strange.
This was an interesting one because I've read an Adam Strange book and I liked it. And I feel like I know nothing about the character from watching this.
Well, that's the issue, is there's so much of it because it's in the actual... Oh, also, apparently, this ties in with the Tomorrowverse.
Okay.
Well, this actually ties in with the universe that's currently going on, the one that starts with Superman Man of Tomorrow.
Right.
Because they actually directly reference this movie in Green Lantern Beware My Power.
Okay.
So, this film is canon! So the one thing that they do not explain is, as far as I'm aware, the actual comic book origins of Adam Strange is he is a human who is transported to the planet Run, where because the technology he knows is so much more advanced, he becomes a superhero.
Yeah.
Whereas in here, the way it's kind of presented would imply, oh no, he is like a soldier.
Yeah,
that fights
you
in
have
Rome.
No real idea. So,
well, that's again, I ended up if nothing else, at least these showcases, the one thing I could maybe see is the sort of, oh, I'm interested to find out more about this character I've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, so also it's not clear when this film's set. Is it set in the future and all these people are humans?
I had no real idea. It's not explained. It could have done with a little bit more contextual explanation.
Yeah. So, Adam Strange is currently living on a mining colony, drinking himself to death, seemingly. And getting beaten for his troubles. He is saved by another man who doesn't like him, but seems to not want him dead for some reason.
Yeah.
So, we then get a flashback of Adam. So, Adam was fighting against a Thanagarian invasion. On the planet of Rom. His wife is killed. And as he is searching for his daughter, because at first I thought they were implying very heavily his daughter was dead.
Yeah, they did seem to be.
And then there was like, oh no, she's not dead, she's just missing. Mm-hmm. Also, I found it slightly triggering that the first time that we've had a character called Alan or Alana, they're instantly dead. So.
That's just funny, but yeah.
Yeah. As Strange is fighting the Thanagarians and looking for his daughter, he gets caught in a Zeta beam.
Yeah.
Which is not explained how Zeta beams work, what
they
do.
No, nothing's explained about it. He's caught and then transported
to a mining planet.
Yeah.
And he's about to kill himself.
Yeah, he's quite a depressing character, generally.
When he realizes, no, I need to survive and find his daughter. I think the other issue that I had is the name Adam Strange. The first thing I thought about was Adam Warlock.
Right.
So that's the idea that came, and particularly when the color scheme that I've seen Adam Warlock wear is red, yeah, and he has flying powers. I kind of got caught in that association.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
I guess that's the difference because I'd read stuff with him in. Yeah. I watched that TV show Krypton. He was in Krypton, wasn't he?
Right, I didn't watch Krypton.
Yeah, so he was on Krypton, I think. Everyone
yeah, no,
me
I, think
wrong,
was,
but
I think he was. I did some research. I'm sure he comes up as a character. In
yeah,
Krypton.
Yeah.
It's a bit like how virtually every one of the supernatural characters in the showcase shows up in Constantine and or Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Adam, it was actually the man who saved him earlier as the first person to find him when he lands in this mining mm-hmm. planet. And Adam is going to try and figure out when the Zeta Beam will come back for him.
Yeah,
it will
he's
come
basically,
back.
Basically spending a long time waiting for the Zeta Beam.
Yeah. So he falls into drinking and basically being a bit useless. Meanwhile, the mining town has accidentally uncovered a nest of not xenomorphs.
Yes, not xenomorphs.
It's like someone went, what if we molded together the Rachni from Mass Effect and xenomorphs?
Yeah.
So the not xenomorphs attack and they are easily overcoming the town. Adam Strange then wakes up, puts on his jetpack and defeats the monsters.
Yeah, he has a motivation to go help fight. He helps get rid of all the aliens, but he's still waiting for a Zeta beam.
Yep, and he decides to wait behind whilst the mining colony clears, because this planet has monsters. We're not staying here.
Yeah.
And just as the ship departs, a Zeta beam comes and Adam immediately jumps in.
Yeah, and that's... We go see him jumping off there.
Yep.
It's pretty good. It does. I just don't feel it gave you any real hook on the character. And if it did, it's just that he's extremely miserable and will only do things when absolutely last minute.
Yeah, it's. I have to say, when you consider it's also paired with Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, which is one of the most downtrodden, dark.
Maybe they thought like, oh, you know, anyone who is like gonna watch this miserable film will not mind another miserable thing.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So that was DC Showcase. I think we both seem to be of the opinion that it's not as good as the other one.
No, I didn't find it as compelling as the other one.
The other one, which kind of, just to recap, the previous one was the Spectre, Jonah Hex, Green Arrow, and Superman/Shazam.
Yeah, I think they just did a better job of it. Like, the stories were more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, like, Phantom Stranger is always going to be a bit of a hard sell, and Sergeant Rock, so, and Catwoman was kind of unnecessary, so... It's sort of like, even if you'd given me this list of characters, I'd have been like, oh, the ones I'm excited about are Adam Strange and Death.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd probably say that I enjoyed Catwoman more than something. I didn't hate. I have conflicted feelings about Catwoman. I just think it's unnecessary and it was stupid. Uh-huh. But some of these others I just left like going, did you really think people would be into this? You know, like, it's just weird. But yeah.
It's almost like... They went, well, that was a really good idea, so let's do it again. That said, I have to say, the next four sound more interesting.
So which are the next four?
So the next four for the showcase, which came out last year, was Commandy Last Born Earth.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
The Losers.
Well, I love the film, so...
Blue Beetle, which I'm not sure if it's meant to be the Ted Kord or Jaime...
I guess we'll find out.
I mean, if it is the Jaime Reyes one, you have to get the impression that they knew that the Blue Beetle movie was coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the headline and the one that's actually the title of the box, mm-hmm, is Constantine House of Mystery, which I believe is a direct sequel to Apocalypse War. So the universe wasn't destroyed.
That would be cool. Yeah.
They did actually continue on with... No, that universe is not dead.
Yeah.
Which is good, because that then means that the worst part of the ending of Apocalypse War didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
So, yeah, we're not having to wait 60 episodes for that. We're waiting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 episodes.
Okay.
On the plus side, out of the movies that are currently released, that's the fifth last that we've got to do.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Because that's... That's everything up till War World, which hasn't yet come out, but it's just about to.
Yes. Which I will hopefully be seeing soon.
Yes. And I think that might be the net last one that's coming out for a little while.
I suspect so.
So, yeah. So, what we've got coming up more immediately is Superman Man of Tomorrow.
Ooh, exciting.
Which is the first of the Tomorrowverse films, and I believe it actually... The one thing is, I think Lobo and Parasite are the main characters in this, but I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That'll be fun.
At least it's not Doomsday. Again.
Yeah, we've... I won't say anything about Doomsday right now. I'll be like, spoilers. But yeah.
Oh, of course. I wasn't thinking. The next movie after that is Deathstroke, Knights and Dragons.
I kind of, you said it and I heard Dungeons and Dragons. I was like, oh, that'd be cool.
Well, I actually do have a Dungeons and Dragons NPC based on Slave Olsen, but
there you go.
He was the villain in one of my in the mini campaign I ran.
Nice.
After that is whatever way we're doing Batman Death in the Family.
Yeah, still negotiating.
Mm-hmm. Followed by Batman Soul of the Dragon, which appears to be an attempt to do a 70s martial arts film with Batman.
Oh, that'll be like going back to Batman Ninja, but with Wuxia stuff.
Yes.
That's my pre.
Then the second film in the Tomorrowverse Justice Society, World War II.
That's stressful.
Yes, we can't get free of World War II keeps coming up. Though this one, I think it's there are alternative. It's another Flash accidentally ends up somewhere he shouldn't.
Right. Okay.
Which seems to be all Flash does now, is unlock something in the infinite multiverse.
Yeah.
We can't. I suppose we have got 9 years of him fighting our speedsters.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, it's hard to be very up about
the Flash right now.
The Flash right now, yeah.
I mean, on the plus side, I believe that this film's meant to be a little bit better.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's actually got quite good reviews.
Good.
So, that's something. So that's everything that is coming up in the immediate future. Have you appeared on any other podcasts recently?
I just did an Immortal Iron Fist Sons of the Dragon on Heroes for Hire issue, a big Heroes for Hire double issue, which is very good. That'll be it probably for quite a while. So, yes. How about you? How's the robots going?
It's going well. At the moment, we're still going through the final series of BattleBots on Comedy Central.
Nice.
Which is, I mean, the robot fighting's quite good.
That's good. I mean, that's the main thing that you want,
the
right?
The show itself is really bad.
Oh, no. That's bad.
Look really bad. It's early 2000s American comedy.
Oh,
and not
no.
Even good American comedy.
That's bad.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
But, you know, you'll get through it and then you'll be on to better stuff.
Yeah. We're on to Robot Wars done for an American audience, which isn't much better.
Oh, no.
Yep, but we will be back in 2 weeks' time with Superman.
Yay. Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email into us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.